Hi, this is comedian Liz Blanc, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I am co-host Gigi Chick.
And today we have our guest, a very funny, lovely comedian from right here in Cleveland, I believe, Miss Marla DeMarkey. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. And you said that your default setting is parent.
Yes.
I want to hear all about. I want to hear all about the baby. Is there just one?
No. Okay. So
let's get to the beginning.
I love when I tell people that I'm a parent. And people assume that I have this tiny, cute little baby. Like, oh, how old is he? And it's like, no, he's almost a grown man. He's 16 years old. He's a sophomore at John Marshall High School. He's a great kid. Like, my son is the best kid ever.
It does look impossible for you to have a 16-year-old, so that's why everybody was probably taken aback.
Like, yeah. Whoa. So I had my child when I was 14 years old, And that in itself was a struggle because I was a sophomore in high school, and my grades weren't all that great, and I found out I was pregnant, and I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. And I was in Catholic school, too, so you know the whole stigma of, like, that it was a mess. But I actually had a lot of support from my teachers and the principal and my friends and my family. So that was cool.
That's cool. So did you stay in school?
Oh, yeah. So I ended up, I stayed in school. I spent another year and a half. I was at Cleveland Central Catholic at the time. Okay. And then I was going to drop out, but then I ended up, I moved to Berea, Ohio, and then I ended up finishing my senior year at Berea High School.
Okay.
And I managed to graduate with a 4.0 GPA. Whoa. That was...
Wow. I couldn't even do that. I have no kids.
I always am just like, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, women who are able to do that. I mean, even as, like, young girls, it's like, I don't know if I would have that stamina.
Motivation.
Or that motivation within me.
Were you pretty self-motivated? Or
It was more along the lines, my mom told me, you are not dropping out of school. We're going to figure this out. If you drop out of school, then I take your kid. And that's the end of that.
Okay.
So I was like, well, don't want to go through that. So
yeah.
I pushed through school. It was not easy, especially like my son, he was born preemie. So he was born January 23rd. In the middle of a snowstorm, and he wasn't due until like the second week of April, so was very preemie. The doctors straight up told my mom, they're like, yeah, we don't expect him to survive this, because he was 3 pounds and 7 ounces when he was born. He was like 27 weeks, which is like right on the cusp of survivability. And they said that if he survives, he's going to be, like, he's going to have so many health issues. There might be some developmental delays, developmental disabilities. You look at him, he's a tall, strong, handsome kid who's extremely intelligent. Like, it boggles my mind. We were doing math today, and I was just like, I don't get this. And he flipped it over, he looked at it, he goes, like, in a notebook, he goes, there's the answer. I was like, how did you get that? And he shows me, I was like,
he probably takes after his mom. You got a 4.0 in high school.
No, but the crazy thing is, I didn't understand algebra until the end of my junior year of high school. Okay, I did not. Like, Jordan, by the way, my son's name is Jordan.
Yeah.
He caught on very quickly. He's always been really into, like, math and science, which were areas I struggled in.
Okay.
Where my strengths were in, like, reading and English.
Yep. Same.
I can't get him to pick up a book unless it's, like, a school project.
Oh, wow.
But, like, it's great because, like, I see a lot of myself in him, and I see the kind of me that I could have been if I had a little bit more self-confidence. Sure. But I feel like I turned out the right way.
Yeah.
For him to turn out that way.
Uh-huh.
So he's doing so great. He's he's a fun person, you know?
And I feel like you, I mean, it sounds like you had a lot of really strong support and guidance when you were around his age. So well, is that something that you're kind of like, that's just natural for you to?
No, the crazy thing is, it's like, okay, so I come from a big family. I'm the middle of 9 children. I have 4 Ooh. Brothers, 4 sisters. And my mom, she was a single mom. She was just working to take care of all of us. Mm-hmm. And with that, she wasn't home as often as we liked. So, you know, we raised each other.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes it was hard. It was really hard living like just the way we did. Sometimes we didn't really have Christmas and stuff like that, but it wasn't really about having gifts. It was more so about like being together with family and stuff like that. So it was hard. It was a struggle. The struggle bus visited our house more than once.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, being in a big family, like we kind of got on each other's nerves a lot, and sometimes we were like, oh my God, I hate you. And it's like, no, we don't hate each other. but when we found out I was pregnant, that it did change the dynamics a little bit. But everybody was very encouraging, like, you got to finish school. Like, above all else, you at least got to finish school. So I made that my mission. I was like, okay, even if I don't finish with the best grades, I'm going to finish, because I don't want there to be any excuses. There's nothing physically wrong with me. There's nothing mentally wrong with me. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to graduate.
Yeah, so for sure.
Yeah, I kept at it. I kept myself just very involved in books and my son in school, and that's how I made it out.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And so when you talk about, like, parent in general, does it have more to do with the setting being what sort of defined your path because you got pregnant at such a young age? Or do you also find yourself being, like, parenting beyond just your own son?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, because I grew up in such a large family, I've done a lot of different jobs that involve being around kids, teaching kids and stuff like that. I was a tutor for Sylvan Learning Center for a long time, an enrollment coordinator at one point. I babysat people, like, and sometimes I would just kind of hang out with kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, like, I always wanted them to, like, be on a good path. Like, it may not even be the right path, but at least it'll be good for them.
Right.
You know, and I was always watching over them, like, hey, what's wrong? Like, I feel like I'm the kind of person that they could talk to because I grew up in such a big family, and because, like, I had to grow up so fast. It's like, I understand where these kids are coming from. It's like, okay, well, you could talk to me about anything. Yeah. What's going on? And I feel like that's helped a lot with a lot of the jobs I had. Like, a lot of the people that I worked with when I was tutoring, they didn't want to work with the younger kids because they felt that they were too high energy, too high strung. They wouldn't listen. Honestly, all you got to do is get down to the child's level. Like, not like, ooh, boo, 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 gaga, like that. Like, you got to, like, physically put yourself at their eye level, because when I learned that when you are standing above a child, that it seems very, how do you say, like, overbearing and domineering, and that feels threatening to them. You got to get at their level, and they are more willing to open up and be trusting to you. Mm-hmm. And I learned that just through all the other things I've gone through in life.
Do you think that your life would have been dramatically different, or would you be dramatically different as a person if you hadn't had your sons at such an early age?
I wholeheartedly believe that.
Yeah,
I definitely do. Like, I've had my son half my life, and I honestly don't know what kind of person I'd be like. I don't know. I think about that a lot, though. It's like, what would I be like if I didn't have a child? It's tough to say, because, you know, I never been without him.
Sure.
You know, and before, just growing up, I was kind of like the shy kid that spent most of her hours with a book in her face and just outside climbing trees. So, I mean, it went from that to being a mom. So there's really no in between. I wasn't really ever a teenager. Like, sure. I went to maybe 2 parties in my entire high school years, and I did not particularly enjoy them. Like, I felt like I feel like I didn't fit in with the other kids.
Sure, I can relate to that, yeah.
And it more so just who I am, how I grew up, and then having a child, and I never wanted to be away from him. Mm-hmm. While everybody was out having fun, going to parties, getting drunk, I'm just like trying to find the nearest phone, like, hey, how's Jordan doing? Is he good?
Yeah. So was it your family that kind of helped out, like taking care of him while you were working and going to school and all of that?
Yeah, a lot. When I was in high school, it was a lot of my family helping out. When I graduated high school, let's see, where did we move to? We moved to Berea. Okay. So after, at that point I was, I finished college. I did, STNA training, and it was just me and him living in Berea. I had some help from, this girl named Laurel. She worked at Berea Children's Home and Family Services, which is how I ended up moving to Berea. But she was a very huge support system for me.
Good. And so they were able to sort of help you with childcare and all that sort of thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is probably like the happiest story we've had on the show so far, where most of the guests are comedians, and this is like the happiest one. The rest of us are all like, and this is why I started cutting myself.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah, no, we always end up going.
I will admit, like being a parent, like when you're like a child yourself, it is not easy. There were times where I was like, I don't feel like I could do this. There were times where I was like, maybe I should like consider adoption to people who are stable and could provide more for him. But then inside I started to feel guilty. It's like, because what if my kid grows up and he wants to reach out to me and he mm-hmm. finds out that I just gave him away, yeah. like an unwanted gift. And I cried about that a lot. Yeah. I was like, I can't just give him up.
Right.
You know, and he's shaped me to be a better person, because like there were times when I didn't have my son like for like a year or so I can like I moved out and I was trying to find my own footing mm-hmm. in life, but that there was a point where I was just kind of like running around, going to parties, doing drugs, not healthy stuff.
Yeah.
So like I realized that I just that wasn't my thing, and I didn't particularly enjoy doing them. I just mm-hmm. did them to fill a void, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but it took a long time for me to realize what made me happy.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's family and comedy. So it's like, all right, I got those. It's all good.
And because this always comes up and you've already segued into it. How long has comedy been a big piece of your focus?
I've been doing stand up for about 2.5 years. This August, it'll be 3. Comedy has actually played a huge role in my life ever since, let's see, I'm going to say 98, 99. So what happened was, I was a shy person growing up. I would not look you in the eye, wouldn't give eye contact. I would mumble because, you know, I just had little self-confidence. I was in the 6th grade, and it was February, so it was Black History Month. And my teacher went around the room, and she had a jar, and everybody was to pull a name out of a jar. And that's who you were going to do your Black History Month report on. And I got Bill Cosby. Now, at the time, not knowing
hold on. Retrospectively, put your thumbs away.
Good times, Bill Cosby. So, remember, this is 1998, 1999.
We didn't know any of that stuff. We didn't know.
So, I went home.
I wanted to be part of that family so badly.
Or a crazy sweater. And
I just wanted, like, I just wanted that to be my family.
Yeah, you wanted the Huxley's to be your family, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody did. I was like, oh.
It was just such a comforting, like, feeling.
That's true.
Yeah, and so I went home and I was crying. My mom's like, well, what's wrong? I said, I can't do this report. Like, because at the time, you know, middle school, you're learning how to, you know, public speaking and stuff. Like, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. And I cried to my mom. I said, Mom, I can't get in front of, like, these people and talk. Oh, and mind you, I just transferred to the school. Oh. Like, I was in public schools in the 6th grade, and I got kicked out because I got into a fight with a kid. Mm. And then I was immediately put into Catholic schools. And I was like, I don't know any of these kids. I'm trying to find my place. Nothing. And I was like, I can't do this. And my mom's like, you know what? And she looked at it. She goes, oh, you got Bill Cosby. Why don't you just be Bill Cosby? I'm like, what do you mean? That makes no sense. She goes, no, do your report as a stand-up routine.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I think I could do this. So I did my research, did all my research, and I knew the day I was going to do my report. It was a Friday, and I was like, all right, I got this. Friday came around, And my teacher's like, all right, so the next person's going to present their presentation. Marla, go ahead and do your presentation. I went to the back of the classroom, into the closet area, put on a Cosby-type sweater, came out with, like, all these things of Jell-O pudding, set one on each student's desk, and I went on as Bill Cosby.
Oh, my God. The whole
5 minutes.
I
did my best. I was like, my name is Bill Cosby, and this is my story.
I can't do it.
It was terrible. The whole impression was terrible, but, you know, the class was laughing. My teacher laughed, and I got, like, a B minus on it, and that was good enough for me. And I was like, oh my God, I can get people to laugh. This is great. It's like, okay, cool. And it made it so much easier to speak in front of people. If I can, like, to make it into jokes, like, every time I do any kind of speaking, I throw in jokes because, you know, when people are laughing, it makes me feel at ease. And ever since then, I was like, I like this.
Relatable.
I think I can do this. And that's when I started really getting into the television programs, you know, like, you know, the ones that we used to watch on Nickelodeon, like Kenan and Kel, Amanda Show. Yeah. I started watching more of those. I was like, I like this sketch comedy stuff. Mm-hmm. And then a few, like, along the lines, a few years later, I don't recommend any of you kids. If there's kids listening, don't do this because your parents are not going to let you. But I
probably
would
sneak. No kids listening
I would sneak downstairs and I would watch, like, Mad TV Saturday Night Live and the Carol Burnett Show. Like, and I'm not supposed to because I'm supposed to be in bed, but I'm just, like, watching it. And I'm like, this is great stuff. And
absolutely.
This is what I want. That's
Carol
what
Burnett,
I want to do.
She has a new show now.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
Man. It's basically like a new Kids Say the Darndest Things, but
I can't keep up with all the goddamn shows because
and she has different guests on that need advice,
yeah,
and the kids give advice, like, that's the whole premise of the show, which
I feel
is
like
the most honest, clear advice you could possibly get.
I feel like Steve, what's his name, Harvey, has a that
oh,
Kids Say
he
the
does.
Darndest Thing show too.
I don't think it's on anymore though.
That show was really cute, but yeah, I don't think it's a thing anymore.
Okay,
yeah.
It was like another one where he's like doing like game show contestant questions with kids too, but I can't remember what that is. It was like Jeopardy or something. But where was I going with this? We were talking about Mad TV. My brother and I would make Mad TV references all the time.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Like, I felt like even when Mad TV was on, like, it was very cult. Like, it was very niche. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't a lot of people. Like, so it's always makes me excited when someone, like, you know, references like Lowered Expectations or something like that.
Lowered Expectations.
And then the other one was Craig Anton would just come out in a towel. Like, you'd just be wearing a towel, like, you just got out of the shower, and he'd be like, you know what I hate? And the whole crowd would be like, what? And he'd be like, the moon! Turn that damn thing off! I'm trying to sleep! And then he'd just, like, go on this rant about everything he hated.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, no, that's so funny because that's very similar to the stuff I did.
Nice.
Did you think about performing after your Bill Cosby?
I did, but I still had problems, like, with public speaking and, like, how to position my body. So I spent more time being a writer than anything. And I would just write. It did not matter. Like, you can ask anybody in my family. I actually used to have a bookshelf with, like, 30 journals in it, and all I would do, like, some of them were, like, personal journal writing, some of them were sketches, some of them were, like, dumb, goofy songs and, like, the, you know, like, Weird Al type stuff.
That's what I did, yes! I read parody songs to my cats still.
It's the best. Yeah. It's the best.
I love it. Like, I would just write all the time, and one of my teachers actually took in middle school, he took notice and he told me that I should enter Power of the Pen, which was like a writing competition type
thing. I remember that.
And I did that for a little bit, but then I was like, I don't know. It's just, you know, when you're a middle school kid, you're like moody and stuff.
Sure.
But I still write. Like, I'm working on a few things now, but, like, they're not really, they're still in the very wee stages.
Sure. Zygote.
Yeah. But, writing, that's all I would do is write. Like, times I wouldn't talk to people, I would just write.
Did you just have, like, journals that you, like, actually wrote in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, just massive amounts of
did
journals.
Did you keep them all?
No.
I have all of mine.
Really?
Not that many,
I only
though,
have two, so, yeah, but I still have the two.
Most of them, unfortunately, I lost in a house fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Leading into the seventh grade, our house caught on fire, and it was an electrical issue. My sister plugged in her lamp, and it blew everything in her room up, and her room caught on fire. Oh, so she didn't know anybody else was in the house, so she grabbed my brother, and they flew down the steps, and they got out of the house. Sure. Now, we were in a side-by-side house, and our neighbors were, like, right next door.
Yeah, that was in Ohio City.
Yeah. And I was like, what is that? And then I opened up my door, and there's flames shooting down the hall. I was like, oh my God. So I was like, I can't get to the staircase. And so I looked out my window, and the roof kind of slanted down, and there's the steps right there. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess that's what I'm going to have to do. So
basically, it was an episode of This Is Us.
Yeah. I climbed out of the window, and I slid down the banister, and I'm just like, oh, our house is on fire. Okay. Oh, that's a thing. Oh, and no. Yeah, so I pretty much lost everything in my all my journals, all these stories I was writing, just songs. I used to write a lot of songs. I can't write. Oh my God, they were so cheesy, like the stupid cheesy.
Oh,
like,
you want to know something?
Oh God,
I had this phase. It was only like 2 years ago where I'd wake up from a dream with a song in my head, convinced that I wrote it, and I started diving into like my phone and recording it while it was still in my head before it left. Just yesterday, I was going through my phone because I record my sets too.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no. These are like Jess's dream songs. We're like at the bottom of the list. And I had to email them. I don't want to delete them, but I'm going to email them all to myself and then delete them off my phone so that like no one will ever know, because that would be humiliating. So I relate to songwriting.
That'd be traumatizing.
I will say we've had some very interesting people on this podcast, but you might be one of the most fucking interesting people
we've
had on
this podcast. Oh my God.
We are only a third of the answers.
Nice.
I am infinitely fascinated. I was going to ask something, but it left me. Cheech, did you have a question? I'm sorry.
I had something. Oh, okay. So you said that you wrote a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I also wrote like my whole childhood, but it was this kind of, I mean, it wasn't like for any particular reason, but I always felt like I had to just get things out of my head. Because I've always had like way too many thoughts going on at the same time.
Oh yeah.
So what did you feel like you got out of like writing that much? Like, did you kind of develop like a certain style of writing, or more of just as like a comforting thing to do?
It was definitely a comforting thing, because sometimes, like, actually no, still to this day, sometimes I find it easier to write what I can't say. You know, it's so weird because like there's so much that I want to say and I can't speak it. But once I write it, that's the way of me speaking it, you know, and it's just so much easier that way.
Have you found, this has been my experience as a writer, I'm much funnier writing because I can go back and revise and revise and revise and revise. And then you post, you know, on Twitter or something to get feedback, and then like, it like lands really well. And if you just posted what immediately came out of your brain, it wouldn't have been nearly that funny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I revise a lot of my stuff. Like I'll find a joke that I think is funny. I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna put a pin in it. And then I'll go back to it. It's like, wait, let me keep going. Like, for instance, you know how we do stand and deliver?
Yeah.
All right. So
you won that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yay!
So one of the jokes for one of the topics was hurricanes. And I was like, all right, cool. I could do that. It's like, oh, maybe not that. I kept going. And I was like, wait, what is the most current thing going on right now? And it was Hurricane Irma at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? I got this. And I do believe my joke was like, maybe Irma, Sandy, and Katrina wouldn't have been so destructive if people stopped calling them fives, because that fucks up a girl's self-esteem.
Nice. Like, that's why they were so pissed.
Well, that was a slow burn, because I got it, and then I got it again. Yeah. I'm like, fives!
You get, like, the full weight of the joke. Like oh, my God, that's amazing.
God, that's good. Yeah, I did it one time, and, like, I couldn't. That's the thing, though. Like, you sound like you can be very quick with your writing. Like, I did Stand and Deliver. And for those who have never been to East End, Stand and Deliver is a competition where every Thursday night at East End Bistro at 9 p.m., the crowd shouts out five different words. And with those five words, two people have to write a set. Like, they have to write five jokes that include that word in it somewhere.
Wow.
And you get, like, a half an hour, 20 minutes.
I think you get the whole set because
it's at the end.
Yeah, it's at the very end because like they'll have booked comedians for that night, and then at the very end they'll do stand and deliver, and they'll bring you up, and then they'll pick which topics to go on, and it's the best out of five. Sometimes it'll go into sudden death. Sometimes it'll go into double sudden death. Well, only one time it went into double sudden death. That was awesome. But it's great. It helps like sharpen your skills. Like, oh, okay, I got to write a joke on this. And if it's something that you're not familiar with, not like comfortable with, like, oh, you got to write. Because one of the jokes that night was about Ethernet cables. I spent most of the night looking that up. Like, what the hell is an Ethernet cable?
Right. Yep. They gave me, I think I had like manatees and raptors. Or like, I mean, like, it was just like random shit. And I was like, I don't, and my jokes were mediocre at best. But you only get an hour to write the joke. And you have to write, you know, five different ones, and then everyone votes who had the most funny out of five. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. The one only time I did it, it was up against Bill Squire, who runs the show.
Oh, goodness.
He invented the game, but they've been playing it for a while, and he hadn't yet won. So he and I went up against each other, and we actually had to go into sudden death.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he won, which he was just like, well, I invented the goddamn game. I should have won after all this time. I didn't feel bad losing to him either, because he's, like, one of the best comedians in Cleveland.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So it sounds like you've got a lot of sort of wit there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
At what point, I guess what I was wondering too is, you know, obviously this is your other thing with parenting. Did any of your writing or any of that taper off when you got pregnant and had your son?
Not really. What I decided to do was make a specific journal for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I had my own journal where I wrote my thoughts and feelings, and then there was another journal I had writing to him.
Okay.
And that was one of the ones that got lost in the fire. I was actually, my goal was to save it until he graduated from high school and give it to him as a gift. But, you know, that, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was something different. It was more in depth, more like me professing to him, like, I know this may seem like a sucky situation a little bit, and things are going to be hard for us for a little while, but it's okay, because there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you, and I still firmly believe that to this day. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for that kid. Like, he's, I mean, I wish more people knew him, just to see how cool of a person he is. He's smart and he's intelligent. Now, those are two totally different things. I want people to understand that being
different.
Smart and being intelligent are two totally different things, because you could be book smart, but being
intelligent.
We both
work for law firms, so we have an understanding.
You don't have to tell us.
So, but he has this confidence that I know for a fact I did not have. And he's a kind person. He's caring. He's patient. Like, he's literally the opposite of who I would, like, he's so assertive. And when I was his, I was like very passive and shy, and all he has, all the guys are friends with him. All the girls are like, "Ooh, hi, Jordan." And Jordan's like, "Yeah, what's up?" So I was like, "Okay." But yeah, he's this cool kid, and like, we talk to each other. And I'd like to point something out. People say that you cannot be your child's friend. You can only be their parent. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to nip that in the bud. That is a myth. Yes, you can be your child's parent, but you could also be their friend. You can be an ear for them to listen to, a shoulder to cry on. You remember what it was like being a teenager. You should be able to relate a little bit to what your kid is going through.
Right.
And it's different for me because, you know, I have a son. So being a male, obviously, is different than being a female, like with your feelings and how you handle things and emotions and stuff like that. But he and I, we talk to each other a lot, and it stopped for a little bit because, you know, that middle school, he's trying to figure out who he is, and, you know, hanging out with mom isn't cool.
Sure.
But now we talk to each other about a lot of things all the time, and he tells me about his hopes and dreams and what he wants to do with his life, and I'm like, I'll support you 100%. If you don't want to do something anymore, I'll support that too, you know?
Is he funny like you? Did he figure
out Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go on the record saying that he is probably funnier than me.
You got to bring him out some night.
Oh my God. Okay, look. So nowadays these kids, they're in these roast battles, okay? I know you can roast somebody face to face. I did not realize you can roast somebody over the phone until I saw my son do it. He was roasting his friend over the phone. He said that he looked like a brown grape. And he also said his friend looked like a half stuffed hefty bag, and I lost it. Like, and we'll roast each other, but yeah. Like the moment he gets me, and I can't respond back because I'm laughing too hard, that he'll just keep bang, 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 keep going, and then I'm done. Like, he is hilarious. Like, it's so great. I told him, you know, why don't you ever try stand up? He goes, nah. That's not my thing. I was like, but you're so funny. He goes, yeah, in a way. Just like, you're okay at roasting, Ma, but you know, I'm the roast master in this house. And then I'm like, Jordan, you can't even roast beef. He goes, Ma, you can't even roast chestnuts over an open fire. I'm like, okay.
This is so, oh my God, so cute. I want to die.
Oh yeah, he's hilarious.
What is he, you said he was gravitating towards math and science. Like, mm-hmm. does he have an idea yet what he wants to do in that?
Sort of. He told me he wants to go to college for business. Okay. But he's also into sports right now. He brought his grades up so that way he can play football. And he's doing the weight training, conditioning, and he'll find out in a few months if he can be on the team. And I told him, I said, listen, I know you love sports. I personally don't want to see you get hurt because I'm the kind of person that will probably jump on the field and be like, yo, what the fuck you doing? But if you want to play football, I will support you. The moment you want to stop, I'll support you too. You still want to go to college? I'll support you. I will do whatever it takes to get you there.
Right.
All right. We're in this together. And he wants to go for business. He wants to start his own business. I don't know what on, but shit, we'll find out when we get there, right?
Yeah. And wow. Has he mentioned schools at all that he's talking
about? Oh, Ohio State's one of them.
Okay.
There was another one. And I can't remember, Louisville? Because mostly he wants to go play football. I said, I don't care where you want to go. Just not Michigan.
No. You're an Ohio State fan or are you just anti-Michigan?
Oh, no. Oh, Ohio State. Yay. All day.
That's my alma mater, actually.
Scarlet and gray till my dying day. Yay. And I told him, I said, look, please, not Michigan.
Just don't do that.
Please not.
I mean, devil's advocate, not that I want him to go there. It is an amazing school.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's just that, fuck those guys.
It's like, ugh. Yeah, but he's like, Ma, you got to understand. I want to go to a school where I'm going to stand out. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, they do get a lot of people from Ohio State. He goes, yeah, they get a lot of people from Michigan, too. Because, he does want to play for the NFL.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, he and I talk about, the stuff that's going on with the concussion protocol and stuff like that. And that worries me. But I feel like he's smart and he has really great body mechanics. So I'm not too worried.
He's played, in previous years at school football before. This is his first year?
He plays a lot with his friends and a lot with my family. So I was like, all right, cool. Just don't get hurt.
Right.
But yeah, I want him to go to a good school, one where he's gonna get a well-rounded education, honestly, and one where I know he'll be happy.
Yeah,
because both of those matter. You got to get a well-rounded education and you got to be happy there.
Yeah,
sure. So I decided that this summer we're gonna start seriously looking into schools, maybe a tour or two. And you know, I mean, he has the grades. He's an honor student. His GPA is 3.7 something.
Aww.
So I'm like, yes.
Has he always been that way?
No. Here's what happened. It all started after his freshman year. His grades weren't all that great. And I kept telling him, listen, they're not going to let you play football if you don't bring your grades up. He didn't believe me. And then he got his final grades. And they're like, Jordan, you can't play football. And he goes, oh, Ma, you were right this entire time. And I'm just like, you're like, no, shit.
That wasn't a wives' tale. That was me literally telling you they won't. They will not let you.
So then this whole year, he's turned all of his work in. And he's just been on the honor roll this entire year. And I'm just like, yes.
That's so great.
And, you know.
He's a sophomore or junior?
He's a sophomore.
Okay.
He's definitely passing, so I'm going to just say he's a junior.
We'll just knock on wood for
he's
fun.
He's a junior. Yeah. And he's really buckled down on his education and stuff like that. He'll come home, he'll do his homework, then, you know, he'll do teenager stuff like play video games and stuff like that. He's working on projects. They have this cool thing now. It's called NGRADE, where it's an app where the students can always keep tabs on their grades. Like, oh, if they're missing assignments, they just go click.
Oh my God, what I was not given for that.
I know. I had to find out at the end of the freaking semester. Right? Like, oh, that's what I'm missing?
Yes. Can't teach is just like in stunned silence over here.
Yeah, see, because like I do not, like I was not a good student at all. And it wasn't because, it was just one of those things. Like, I wanted to be a good student. In certain grades, I really excelled, just like you in English. Like, give me a spelling test any day. I was all about them. Fridays were spelling test days, and I would, like, literally be excited. But I always struggled with, like, the math and science parts. My brain just would be like, nope, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
And I always, like, wanted to be a good student. But no matter how hard I studied, I would do all my homework, all my assignments, but I was the worst test taker. Mm. But there were, I remember like specifically occasions when I missed assignments literally because I forgot.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like just stupid, like, oh, I left it at home or forgot that I needed to turn that in last week. Like, I can't believe kids these days.
And it's so easy.
I know.
It's crazy. And they can use their phones in the school. Like, right. When I was in high school, we had, like, most of us had cell phones, like flip phones. But if you were seen with it out at all, like, you would get a detention. Or
guess what, kids? We didn't even have cell phones. That's how old I am.
Now, parents can also have the NGrade app, and they can follow along to see their students' progress. And I just have, I look at this and I laugh because I remember when I was in middle school, high school, they would send home a paper. Like, this is your kid's grade. Oh, your kid's grades are shitty? We need you to sign this.
Sign it, yeah.
So I think for about 7 months, I think for one whole continuous school year, I was forging my mom's signature.
I did that too! I did that in Jackson!
Oh, so many people my did God. That. Yo, that's what you had to do.
Yo, but did you get caught?
Yeah.
I did too, because my mom came up to the school, and she's like, well, what do you mean Marla's grades are bad? They're like, well, haven't you been signing these things? And my mom's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So then they brought the whole stack.
Oh my God.
And they showed my mom.
She's like, that's sloppy. That's not my handwriting.
She goes, she's looking. And she looks dead at me. I was like,
I gotta say though, for kids, like, and obviously I'm biased because I did it too. That's kind of fucking smart. Like, I don't know. My parents never gave me the proper credit I was due for the ingenuity. That was like third grade. It wasn't like fucking seventh. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, it's Trace. Like,
yeah, I did this. I did that in seventh grade, and I forged my mom's signature so that way I can watch Schindler's List in class.
No shit. Mm-hmm. So you you didn't think your mom would let you watch?
I honestly did not think she would. So I was like, well, then I'm just going to go ahead and forge it. And, the teacher was talking to her about like, oh, so what did you think about Oscar Schindler? Blah, blah, blah. My mom's like, what? And they're like, well, Schindler's List, that we saw it in class. And my mom's like, isn't that movie rated R? And so don't you need a parent's signature? And I'm just like slowly sinking in my chair. And I'm like, I'm so dead.
In that case, again, like you just wanted to learn. Like, I don't fault you for forging signatures because you want to be educated. That's silliness.
I feel like we needed signatures, like parent signatures to read Fahrenheit 451 and The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah.
No, his nine is not for rent. Sorry, I just went to
do something.
My
amazing.
Rush impression. Made me think of Tom Sawyer. What was I? Oh, God damn it. I'm so high. I was going to ask. God damn fucking Rush. You ruin everything. You were talking about. Oh, yeah. I don't even remember having to sign, having my parents needing to sign stuff for like film. Which, in retrospect, make no sense, because if you consider, like, where I grew up, where I went to school, you actually got demerits if you got caught holding hands, if you hugged too long in the hallway. I know, because I almost got suspended. You get suspended after you get 20 demerits. I almost got suspended for repeatedly hugging my boyfriend in the hallway.
Just oh my gosh. To make that clear.
We never had to have... We watched Clockwork Orange.
In school?
It was 12th grade.
Oh,
we watched Clockwork Orange, and there were never...
I watched that as an adult, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I actually own that movie. I'm like, weird. Like, it's my weird,
I watched
kinky,
it
dark
too
thing.
Late. Like, I couldn't get
oh,
into
really?
It.
Oh, really? I watched
it. It's a good movie, though.
I watched it, like, 2 years ago for the first time.
Oh, wow. Shit. Oh, no. No, you know what's funny? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're not fucked up like me. I'm sure you're not. what am I saying? Maybe.
I'm sure you're not.
No, but like, it's just, and maybe because the first time I saw it, I was 16, and like a lot of it to me was like, ah, like just crazy shit. But the more you watch it, the more like funny it becomes, and you stop taking it so like sinister. Mm-hmm. Like you just, I don't know. You get desensitized. Yeah. You know what I mean? She's giving me the most skeptical.
I'll watch it again. G, just only with you.
Yeah, no, I
can't listen to the song "Singing in the Rain" the same anymore.
Oh my god! I know. See, like now I can't watch it. We have like 100 things in common, which is what Elizabeth said happened too when she, yeah, when she started talking, because she and Elizabeth had to toast each other at the toast prattle, and you were there for it. Yeah, you
oh yeah, 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 yeah,
I was there.
So yeah. And that was what she's like, we have 100 things in common, and that's exactly what's happening. I can't hear "Singing in the Rain" and I can't hear most Beethoven now without thinking of like a certain scene. Mm-hmm. Okay. The William Tell overture.
If it's gonna ruin "Singing in the Rain," I don't know if I
can. You probably should. We can fast forward.
Because I love that.
Yeah, fast forward that part. Yeah.
I love that.
It's a pretty bad scene. It's the one I still struggle with in the whole movie.
Yes, so. I will like either have to like cover my ears and close my eyes, or just kind of still close my eyes. Like,
this is not convincing me.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, I mean, you don't have to. I don't judge. I'm glad you at least saw it. Everyone should see it. Children who are not young should see it, like, you know, 14, 15 and older, with parents' permission, of course. But that's what I mean. Like, we didn't need permission for that, but you got demerits for hugging. And we got demerits for chewing gum too, because we were so poor we couldn't afford to replace like the furniture. So when kids kept sticking their gum all over it, like it was fucking it up.
Oh, God.
So you actually, in the handbook, I still have a copy of it somewhere, you got 3 demerits for chewing gum. You got 2 demerits if you got caught smoking. So you got more demerits
for chewing gum?
Yes.
Welcome to the hit.
I am sorry. This is a terrible thing to say, but never was I happier when I found out, I think it was like 5 years ago, that my high school principal got caught sleeping with one of the students, like an 18-year-old senior.
How many demerits
senior.
Is that? I mean, come, what kind of school did you go to?
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Backwards hick ass. Fucking redneck school.
Oh my goodness.
That's so gutter.
No, but it was like, and the thing was, he was 130 when I went to high school, and this was just like 5 years ago. So, yeah,
somebody had daddy
issues. I just remember over and over, people were like, she was 18, she was 18, and I'm like, still though.
His
like,
dick's probably all wrinkled and gray.
Unless you're in your 70s. It hasn't just fallen off.
There's no excuse.
And rolled down the street.
Ugh.
Picked up by a dog. So we could go with this narrative. But I think it's crazy that, like, it's probably a good thing that they needed parental permission for that, because there's, like, mm-hmm. So what's crazy that you say that is, This American Life is one of the podcasts I love, and I try to, like, there's a little bit of, like, influence here on this podcast. They just did an episode 2 weeks ago where they talked about this, it was, like, a 10th grade class of these high school kids in Oakland, and they went to see Schindler's List. And they're like 15. They're like, they don't give a shit about any of this. And every time they'd see like nudity or they'd see violence, like other people were in the theater like trying to watch it. But these kids would be like, and they'd start throwing things at the screen, no, like making noise.
This is not Rocky Horror.
Well, and then it devolved because it was like, they were just a bunch of dumbass high school kids. And like the kids are like all our age now.
Wow.
This is how long ago it was. Because it was when Schindler's List was in theaters. And so they were interviewing these guys now, and they were like, yeah, we were just shitty kids. Like, we feel really bad. But the people in the theater, there were apparently a bunch of Jewish people there that day, and they were all like, they were being anti-Semitic. And, like, it turned into this huge battle of, like, we're sorry, we didn't mean to disrespect you. We're just 15 years old and don't understand, like, what we're saying.
Yeah, are they dumb or are they racist?
Right, exactly.
Probably just
gonna
dumb.
Say real dumb because they're kids.
Right. So it was a very fascinating story. And then it ended up that like Steven Spielberg actually came to the school with the governor of California because it got so much exposure because of how much these kids were like getting drilled and these kids were kind of like fighting back. And
something's happening.
Okay, so just side note for those at home, there's a fly in here. I've never seen Brutus lose his shit before, but he is losing.
Like, goddamn mind.
Like, I'm trying, like, I felt bad. Now we can address it because we're speaking on lighter notes. But before, like, Marla was having these, like, beautiful conversations about her son and very serious. And I would just see, like, Brutus do a backflip through the air and then be like, and I'm just, like, trying not to laugh or point out that this cat is going literally insane.
Wow,
right
I've
now.
Never seen him act
no,
like
I
this.
Haven't either. Well, it's weird because as soon as we sat down at the mics, he started rubbing on my legs and going, meow, meow, which he never does. Like, he rubs on me, but it isn't meow. So. You're in some kind of way today, Brutus. What's going on? Are you Twitter pated? Because it's springtime. That's the Bambi Disney word for horny.
No, I think he just sees the
fly and he's like losing his mind. Oh God.
Oh my god.
He's like crouching down. We need to start getting a live video cat or live video stream of Brutus.
Crouching Tiger, hidden Brutus.
Oh, there he goes.
Oh, he got it.
Did he get it? Oh, no. Nope. If he got it in midair, I will give him all of these Doritos. It's a good boy, Brutus. You keep up. My cats don't do this shit. Cats are lazy as fuck.
My cats do it with, like, ants.
Oh, really?
Like, sometimes there'll be, like, a little ant that comes through, like, the cracks of, like, the hardwood floor. But they won't even, like, try to do anything to it. They'll just sit there.
And then wind up. Oh, yeah, stare.
I just stare, and it's so creepy.
Did you think there's a ghost?
Like, the one morning I woke up, and I came out, like, out of my room, and I looked down the hallway, and just in, like, direct sunlight of the window was Rue, my one cat, just standing, just staring, like, deadpan. But she was making, like, a really weird face. And then my other cat, Eli, his tail was poofed out so much. He looked like a raccoon or something because he was so scared. And his back was arched, and he was staring at Rue like, what the fuck are you doing? Because you look like a silhouette of a strange cat that I don't know right now. And I'm like, yeah, they get weird.
So you had said that, you know, like, and one of the things I wanted to dive still more into, did you start writing comedy and all the writing? Did the writing start before Jordan?
Yeah, okay. I was writing way back, like, in fourth grade, just because I liked writing. It was easy for me. I remember the first writing thing I did. My friend Nina and I, we started a newspaper, if you will.
Yes, and, like Little Women.
Yeah, no, it was bad. We were talking shit about people.
Okay, or like and Mean Girls.
Or like Page Six.
It was secretly coded. And so I've forgotten about it. And I guess the teacher came across it. And it was illustrated. It was stapled together. It was really nice for like 1996. And I was like, I don't like this person. It was satire. Oh, my God.
Satire. I love it so much.
Oh, my God. Because, like, we were kind of like the nerdy kids. You know the popular kids. They're like, oh, I do this. I do that. I'm like, I just eat chips and read books.
Yeah, so, man.
Yeah, no, I got in some serious. Oh my God, I remember when my mom came up to the school. She's like, "What did you get in trouble for?" And they're like, "Well, she was writing stuff about people." And my mom was like looking over it. She goes, "No, this is not acceptable." But then later on, she talked about it. She goes, "That's actually pretty funny, but don't do that." It was like, oh my God. Yeah, I had to explain the code to the principal. I was like,
why did they make you? Why would they even know it was a code? Was it just like spelled?
It was encrypted.
Sort of, because somehow the other kids knew about it. Like, they knew that we were doing our own little paper and stuff like that. And, you know, me being a dumbass, I forgot about one of them. And it was discovered and
womp womp.
Yeah.
I would have loved to be the kids that found that and been like, whoa.
Like, what is this?
This is crazy.
The only reason why, and we had our names on it. Our names weren't encrypted.
This book belongs to.
Yeah. This is on the inside. Property of Nina Petito and Marla Massey. So I was like, oh my God.
That's pretty fantastic, actually. So you just started. I know you were talking about when you became interested in comedy. When did you start writing more comedic things, do you think?
I'm going to say after I got out of... Oh, no. I got out of high school. I went to Cleveland State, and I was taking a theater class. Okay. That's when I started doing comedy writing.
Cool.
I was terrible at theater class. I could not act my way out of a paper bag. But... the writing, oh my God. I was doing creative writing, and I'm just like, oh my God, there's all this other stuff. And I was reading more books. You know, the books that you're supposed to read in middle school and high school that you just don't give a shit about. But then as an adult, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to read The Grapes of Wrath. All right.
Go to Barnes & Noble and get the cheater book. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was just like, oh, all this reading. And then I was like, oh, these are cool words. And now I'm expanding my vocabulary. And I was writing and doing just all this other crazy stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I feel like, theater class would be really hard.
It is not easy.
Did you have
easy.
To memorize?
Yes.
Like all those like lines, like plays and everything?
Yes. Okay. And it was not easy. I would record myself saying all the lines, and I would listen to it over and over and over, and it was not sticking. So I was like, all right, cool. Let me get my mom to record it. And I'm just like, okay, I can't listen to this after like two times. So I'm like, let me get my friend to record. And it was just like, nope, it was not. It wasn't sticking. I failed that class. I bombed it. Like
That would be really
All right, hard. So this is where people are buried. I was buried underneath that. That's how bad I
feel
did.
Like I would have preferred that, though, because in college, I went to CSU, and I took a class where you basically just read plays.
Mm-hmm.
Not out loud, even. You just were forced to read plays, and then we had to discuss it in my papers, and I hated it. I discovered I hate just to read plays. Like,
oh, really?
But at the same time, I read some cool stuff. Like, I have parts of, like, Hamlet memorized and, you know, like, random stuff like that.
Yeah,
and the teacher
was really
funny.
How many
times
I had to remember Hamlet's stupid-ass soliloquy is...
Like the whole, like, I think I know the beginning of the
I can get to a certain part and then I just.
It gets real tricky.
Yeah.
I know you're not supposed to say Macbeth.
In the theater. Yeah. You're allowed to say it, but it's not in the theater.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm like, so one of the things I always wonder is like, well, then how do they say the name? Like, how do you know what play you're at?
Right.
Like, if you're not allowed to say it in the theater, do they just hold up a freaking pamphlet and say, like, that's where you're at right now. This is what you're watching.
Like, what, Macbeth?
Oh my god!
What is supposed to happen? Yeah,
like, I don't know. I God, this is gonna sound terrible. I'm not really that big of a fan of Shakespeare.
Nah, that's
to be
fine.
Honest,
I don't like the Beatles. Woo, we're all saying controversial things.
Wait, do you really not like the Beatles?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no.
We can still be friends.
I love controversial opinions.
I got their lyrics tattooed on my body.
Do you really?
Yeah,
that's
real.
Cool.
See, look.
Okay, so what are we looking at?
Okay, so on my forearm is the words, in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
Aww.
That's the last line of the last song they did together, The End, on Abbey Road.
Oh, wow.
And I just, one day, I was like, oh, that looks nice. And then about 45 minutes later, I was getting it tattooed.
I don't judge you at all, because I have Simpsons tattoos, so it's the inanimate carbon rod.
Yeah.
The Simpsons. And yeah, I'm a ridiculous person, so we all have things that we're into. But... Yeah, no, Shakespeare. I agree. I can definitely see, like...
I like Shakespeare.
Yeah, I think there are things of his that I liked, but I don't... Some of the stuff is just a royal snooze fest, and I don't understand how I got any of the attention it did.
Right.
But, I mean, sometimes it's just okay to accept that not all of them were winners, but yet it's like, no, everything he did was brilliant.
No,
like,
well, yeah.
He's a revolutionary. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all right, you know. Mm-hmm. But then again, I was the person reading a shit ton of Edgar Allan Poe stuff.
Yeah. Were you kind of a goth girl?
In a way.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Wait. Yes. Oh, my God. Now that I think I dyed my hair jet black all
nice.
The time. Thick raccoon style eyeliner painted, like, either all my nails are black or just the pinky.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
So you were.
Oh, no.
You're coming to terms with it. Embrace it.
We're having so many
we're
revelations.
Here for you.
Yes.
It's okay. We have a lot of goth girls. Some of us are former goth girls or...
Just called goth.
Just called goth
sometimes
for no
when
reason.
We're not.
Oh, my God. Oh,
no, it's okay.
Jesus.
We accept you. It's fine. It's all fine.
Edgar Allan Poe. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really
not
read
into that.
A full...
Yeah,
I've read The Raven and, you know...
Yeah.
The Raven, yeah.
Telltale Heart. But...
Yeah. Good stuff.
So Poe's more your speed than Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
When you write now, what is sort of the... Do you do mostly a blend of comedy and drama, or do you have all kinds of different stuff you write?
Mostly comedy, but I do a little bit of comedy drama. My comedy... like, it's hard to explain the style. It's just like... I know you guys can't see me, but I'm just like, gesticulating.
Je ne sais quoi seems like the...
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I just write based on how I'm feeling or what's going on. Like, I can't explain it. It just writes.
Right.
Yeah. One of the people I look up to in writing is Stephen King. Not just because I like his style, right? It's also because we share the same birthday. So
oh, wow.
I was just like, hey,
cool.
We share the same birthday, but I hope I don't get hit by somebody driving a van. So that would suck.
That right.
would
that
suck.
Would
something
suck.
Fierce.
Oof, a lot.
Yeah, okay. So for people who don't know, Stephen King was out walking one day when he was younger and somebody mowed him over in a van. He was hit by a van. I don't think he knew who did it, but he was hospitalized for a while, and that was pretty messed up.
So. That happened after he was a famous writer, or before?
Shoot.
Because that's like a fucking
sure.
good fucking foundation for
I think it was like right
for,
in like the beginning of his career.
Writing career.
Now I gotta look it up. Oh my
god. We're gonna Google this shit. Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I like a lot of Stephen King stuff.
So do you find, because your son is more into math and science, do you ever miss talking about writing, or do you guys still talk about writing and writers and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we don't really talk about writing at all. Okay.
He's not into it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Nope. It's like pulling teeth when trying to get him to write a paper for school. Because I've seen it. I was like, Jordan, what is this? Is this a sentence? I mean, what is going on here? He goes, I mean, it's just a general idea. I was like, the general idea of what? Well, I don't understand what this is. So, like, I'll help him with writing. Mm. And sometimes, like, I'll be doing some math stuff. And I'm like, Jordan, what does the word mean? He goes, it's like an average of a group of numbers. Mm-hmm. You take the numbers and you divided by how many numbers there are. I was like, oh, then what's median? He goes, it's the middle number. Out of like seven numbers, it's the number in the middle. I was like, I don't know these things. I was not good at math. But if I need something added up, I'll call you.
Yeah, no kidding. What's your outlet for writing these days, Bob?
Outlet?
Like, do you go to workshops? Do you have people that you talk with about this stuff?
Okay. So sometimes I'll just... What I used to do is I used to set a time during the day to write, and it wasn't working because like I just wasn't like it didn't come to me. Mm-hmm. Like I would just be thinking of stuff now and I'll just jot it down in my phone and say, all right, I'll put a pin in that. Like things will just come to me organically, whether I'm at work or taking a walk, and just like random things will sprout in my, especially in the shower. Now, it's harder in the shower because you can't just reach out and grab your phone because then it'll get wet.
Right.
I used to write on the tiles in my shower while I was in there. That's with like so lipstick brilliant. And stuff.
Holy shit.
Yeah. No, my husband and son did not like that. They're like, what is this? Like, all right, well, I'm going to scrap that idea. So I was just like, I'm not going
to leave their notes to it.
It would just be scribbles. It was like, what is this? I'm like, don't worry. Don't wipe it off. But by the time I'm in the bathroom, I'm like, oh, I wiped it off. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I relate to that too. There's been times I've woken up in the middle of the night and grabbed my phone and my boyfriend would be like, is everything okay? And I'll just be like, oh yeah, I just had an idea for a joke. And then just be like writing it down and going back to
Or the worst, like at least when you're awake, you have a clear idea of what it is you're thinking about. The worst is when you're like, in that twilight sleep and you think of something and then you write it down, you write it down, and then you look at it in the morning and it's like when the dawn. It's like, what does that fucking mean?
Total gibberish.
What does this mean?
And you woke up in the middle of the night, we're like, oh my god, this is gonna blow people's minds. Uh-huh. Yeah, that is.
And you look at it later, it's like,
that's so frustrating.
What the fuck? Where was I going with this?
Oh my god, that's good. Holy shit. Ms. Marla, do you have any upcoming projects or social media that you would like to promote?
Let me take a look here, because I think I do. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Skip that. Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to go to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Cool.
In July.
All right.
NBC is doing this the stand-up tour where they're going to five different cities, and they're only going to be looking at the first 100 comedians, and it's all on Saturdays. The cities are Houston, Chicago, New York, Vegas, and Charleston.
Okay.
I'm going to be going to Charleston in July, and I think the Vegas one is actually in June. I might go to that one.
Okay.
I think it's called NBC Stand Up for Diversity.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about that because I missed out on it over the last 3 years. I was like, no, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I mean, I got a couple other shows going on. I was just in the Youngstown Comedy Festival.
Oh, how'd that go? Yeah, that's what I heard too. I heard it was kind of a nightmare and a mess. There were some bad things we can talk about offline that I heard about.
Yeah, it was a mess. But I just love traveling. I plan on going to Pittsburgh this summer because Pittsburgh's like my second home. My husband lived out there for 5 years.
I love Pittsburgh.
And
I do too.
The scene out there, I want to get into it. And I met so many cool people from Pittsburgh at the Youngstown Comedy Festival.
Oh, cool.
I was like, yeah, you should come out. There's the Arcade Theater. There's a Pittsburgh Improv. I was like, I need to go out there.
Yeah, for sure.
But mostly I'm just, right now I'm working on a writing project. I don't know exactly where I'm going with it yet. So it's like, I don't know. It's like a mumble gumbled mess. But I want people to look at this and it's like, oh, okay. This is something relatable. It's basically like, you've seen many different like shows and stuff like that about people, who like work in fast food. I work in fast food right now. It is the absolute worst. And yes, you've seen so many different shows about people who work in food industry, like, you know, Two Broke Girls, stuff like that, but it's not like that. Like, I don't want it to be anything like that. I want it to be real and relatable and having to deal with shitty ass customer service and working long hours and interpersonal like relationships as well as personal relationships and the different dynamics between, you know, employees and employers. Like, it's I'm working on it. It's just hard to explain exactly what it is. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still like fleshing out ideas.
For sure. We've all been there. Do you have any social media or anything that you want people to follow you on?
Yes. Okay. So you guys can follow me at Marley from CLE, pretty much every single form of social media. Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can look me up on Facebook at facebook.com/Marley from CLE, and you're gonna find me there.
And that's M-R-L-E-Y?
M-A-R, sorry. M-A-R-L-E-Y-F-R-O-M-C-L-E.
All right, awesome. Gigi, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at ggchick, G.G.C-H-I-C-K.
You can find me at epicfaul, E-P-I-C-F-A-U-L, on Twitter and Instagram. You can catch me on the last Sunday of every month at 7 p.m. at the SX1 Entertainment Toast Prattle. It's downstairs in the Bar Louis downtown.
It's awesome.
And you can also, yeah, Marla was in it, and yeah. Gigi was there for it. And you can also, you won your round against Elizabeth.
I did.
That was fantastic. Love you guys. And then the first and third Sunday of every month, you can find me at Skidmark Garage at 7 p.m. for Couch Gags. It is a week or bi-weekly showcase that you can come check out, and just costs couch change to get in. Thank you very much, Marla, for coming out today.
We had no problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, love you. Bye.